So we resume learning the second Rosh Hashanah. Tonight is the second night of Elul, so it's time to appreciate Hamelech Basadeh, the king being in the field, and renew our connection to him and to his Torah. And what a good way to do that than by learning Torah. So we are on Kaf Gimel Omad Aleph, and after the two dots on line 9, and we return to a topic in the Mishnah. Kate said, Hayu Masi'in Masoot, how did they light bonfires? Mevi'in Klunsot, they brought poles, the goma, etc. And the Mishnah said they were made of cedar, erez. And we go straight into a Agadic passage about things related to erez, which we translate as cedar, but actually that's probably not a good translation, as we will see. Amar Rav Yehuda, Arba Mine Arazin Hain. There are four different types of erez. So I think we should stop translating it as cedar. It's just it's a generic name for different types of materials. And they are erez, katram, eit shemen, uvrash, which I won't translate because we don't really know what they are. And we are learning Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Due to a slight technical difficulty, we didn't record the last few lines. We are on Kaf Gimel Omad Aleph, line more or less 16. We've just said in the name of Rav Yehuda, but there are four types of erez, and that disagrees, line beginning, Upliga. That disagrees to Rabba Barav Huna with the words of Rabba Barav Huna, that Amar Rabba Barav Huna, Omri Bey Rav, that Rabba Bar Huna says in the name of Bey Rav, Asara Mine Arazin Hain. There are 10 types of erez. Shenema, because the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Etein b'midbar, I will put into the midbar, erez, shita, v'hadas, v'eit shemen, asim, v'arava, barush, tidhar, v'ta'ashor, all those things, yachdav, I'll put them all together. And says, Rabba Rav Huna, they are all different types of erez. Now, what are they? Now, here, the Gemara is going to translate them into Aramaic, and Rashi translates the Aramaic into French, and Art Scroll translates it into English. So the Gemara says, erez is arza, which is cedar. Shitar is toranita, which is pine. Hadas, that one we recognize, is asa, which is myrtle. Eit shemen is afarsama, which we call balsam. Barush is barta, which we call boxwood. Tidhar is shaga, which we call fir. And ta'ashir is shurivna, which we call, we don't know what it is, we call it shurivna. And that's all 10. Well, no, it isn't. Hani shiva have. That's only 7. Ki ata Rav Dimi came, Amma, and he said, Hosifu Aleihem, they added more to them, 3 more, Elunim, Almunim, V'almogim. And what does that mean? Elunim is Batme, which is elms, Almonim is Blote, which is oaks, and Almugin is Kasita, which is coral. And Ichada Amri, there are those who say that the 3 extra were a different 3. Arunim, which is laurel. Armonim, which is chestnut. And Almugin is the same as it was before, i.e. coral. And the Gemara gives explanations of what these are. Arunim is Aray. Armonim is Dovle. And Almugin is Kasita, as it was before, and we don't know what those translate into. Okay, so that's the 10 different types of erez. And the last one was Kasita, which is coral. Remember that, because now we're going to talk about something different. We quote a pasuk which says, V'tzir adi lo ya'evireno. What is tzir adi, which will not pass, or will not cross? Amarav zu burani gadola. It is a big ship. So Tzir Adi is Burne Gedola, which is a big ship. Heichi Avdu, what did they do with it? What did this big ship do? And the answer is, Maitu Shit Alfei Gavra, Betresa Yarche Shata. So they're going to do something clever with it, but it requires a lot of work. They needed 6,000 men to work on it for 12 months of the year. for Omri La, and there's another edition, another version that says, Tresa Alfe Gavre, 12,000 men, Beshita Yarche Shata, for 6 months of the year. It's actually the same man hours, but divided differently. What did they do? The Ta'one Le Chala, they would fill this big boat with sand, Ad the Shachna, until it rested, the Nachit Bar, and it went down, and it rested on the sea floor. The Shachna it rested, the Nachit Bar Amurai, they lowered down divers, the Ketir, and they tied Atune de Kitna, a cotton rope, the Kisita, to the coral, the Keter Lahu, and they tied the other end, the Sfinata, to the boat. So they've lowered this boat, they filled this boat with sand so it sinks. Then they send down a diver to tie a string from the coral to the boat. The Natli Chala, and then on the boat they took the sand, the Shade Lavrai, and they threw it outside the boat. And what's going to happen? Very, very clever this. The Kama de Madale, and as the boat rises, because it becomes more buoyant, because it's weighing less, Akra, it uproots the coral, Umaita, and brings it. That is how they used to, as it were, farm the coral. I have no idea if that's how they farm coral today. I don't know if anyone knows, but the Gemara tells us that's how they used to do it. And coral is very valuable. Umachlif al-chad train bakaspa. They could exchange one piece of coral for 2 pieces of silver. Then it says, Talat Paruta Havin, there were 3 ports, 3 ports which are relevant to our story. Tarte Be Aramai, there were 2 in Aramaean territory. Vachada De Be Parsi, and one of them was in Persian territory. De Be Aramai Maskin Kasita, in the Aramaean ports they brought up coral. De Be Parsi Maskin Marganita, in the Persian port, they brought up precious jewels. Umakre, and it was called, the Persian one, Parvata de Mashimahik, which Rashi says means the port of the Malchut, of the royal port. Okay, that's the end of that story. Now we have another little piece of Agadata. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shita v'Shita Shenitlu Nachrim Yerushalayim. Every, literally, line, every piece of wood that the non-Jews took from Jerusalem, Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHachziran La, Hashem will in the future return it. Everything will be brought back. Shenema, because the pasuk says, Atein b'midbar erez shita. I will put in the midbar the line of cedar. V'ein midbar el Yerushalayim. And when it says midbar, it doesn't mean anything other than Yerushalayim. Shenema tzion midbar haita. Because the pasuk elsewhere says that tzion was a midbar. So midbar, whereas it normally means desert, here it means Yerushalayim. And now we have another drasha. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol halome Torah ve'eino malamda. Anyone who learns Torah and doesn't teach it, dome lahadas b'midbar. So here midbar, means desert. Hadas is what we had before as one of the 10 types of Erez, which is why it's mentioned here. So anyone who learns Torah but doesn't teach it is like a hadas b'midbar. Now, what does that mean? Hadas is very nice. It smells nice. But if it's in the desert and nobody appreciates it, there's no point in it smelling nice. It's a waste of time. I.e., someone who learns should also be teaching. Ichata Amri, some say the mashal is like this. Kol halome Torah umalamda, someone who learns Torah and teaches it, bimkom she'ein tamar chacham, in a place where there's no Talmud Chacham, in other words, a person is doing their best, and they're the only ones who are able to teach Torah, domala hadas b'midbar. They're like a hadas, a myrtle, in the desert. Now here, it's a compliment, because a hadas in the desert, forget what I said before, hadas in the desert is really nice. Tachaviv, says the Gemara, it's dear, it's beloved, because it brings a nice fragrance when there's no other nice fragrance around. So, 2 ways with a completely different focus of learning from the same idea. Then we say, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lahem la'ovde kochabim, she'ein lahem takana. Woe to the idolaters who have no solution to their problem. What do we mean? Well, he quotes a pasuk that says, Shenema, tachat hanachoshet avi zahav. In place of copper, I will bring gold. So if you've lost copper, it's okay because Hashem will replace that with gold. V'tachat ha-barzel avi kesef. And in place of iron, I will bring silver. V'tachat ha-eitzim nachoshet. And in place of wood, copper. V'tachat ha-avanim barzel. And in place of stone, iron. So everything gets replaced and goes up a level. So it, in a sense, what he's saying, and this is in relation to what's coming next, it's not so terrible that the idolaters took away all these materials from Yerushalayim because they can be replaced, and they can be replaced at a better level. So actually, it's not so terrible. However, there was something else they took away which can't be replaced. Tachat Rabbi Akiva v'chavirav, mai mevi'in. What can you bring in place of Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues? So the idolaters, they take away stones and wood and copper, that's okay. But when they take away Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues, that is irreplaceable. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan said, Oy lehem la'ovdei kochavim she'ein lehem takana. What they've taken cannot be fixed. Va'aleihem hu amer, and that's on them it is said, V'nakiti damam lo nakiti. I will not cleanse their blood. I will not forgive them because there's no way that there can be a rectification of what they've taken away. Okay, that's the end of the Agadah. We now go back to the Mishnah. U'me'ayin hayu masi'in masa'ot. And from where would they light the bonfires for chule, etc.? U'mi'beit blatin. And from Beit Blatin. Now, Beit Blatin was the last place mentioned. It was the place from which they sent the signal out to the Gola, which we're about to define what it means, so I won't yet. And from Beit Blatin, the Gola could see that bonfire, and everyone would go away and light their own lights in their houses. My Beit Blatin. So what is this Beit Blatin? Amar Rav. Rav says, and we're turning over the page to the top of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet. Zu Biram. It's the place called Biram. My Gola. And when it said in the Mishnah, the whole Gola, which normally would mean the whole diaspora, could see this bonfire. Obviously, it doesn't mean the whole diaspora, because that's not possible. Amar Rav Yosef, Zu Pumbedita. It's talking about Pumbedita, which was the central Jewish place in Bavel. And my Kumadurat Eish, and the Mishnah said that the whole Gola looked from Beit Blatin as if it was a bonfire of fire. What does that mean? Tana. So we've learnt from a Tana. Kol Echad Ve'echad Notel Avuka B'yodo. Everyone in Pumbedita would take a torch in their hands, va'ola l'rosh gago, and they would go up to their roof. So the whole city would be full of people waving torches. Tanya, we've learned in a brayser, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af chirim v'kia v'geder v'chuvrete. There were other places where bonfires were lit, and these were chirim and kia and geder v'chivrete. Icha da amri. And there are some who say, Beini ubeini, hayu kaimi. Some say that these extra places were in between the places that we listed. So we listed, I think, five places in the Mishnah. And these other places were in the middle. So there weren't five, there were nine in a line. Ika da amri, but there are others who say, Lahach gisa de Eretz Yisrael havu kaimi. These other ones were on another side of Eretz Yisrael. So one side of Eretz Yisrael, which tends towards Bavel, was the ones in the Mishnah, and another side of Eretz Yisrael, which also tends towards Bavel, because that's where the direction was going, were these places just listed. In which case, why aren't they listed in the Mishnah? And the answer is, Ma Chashiv L'Haygisa, one Tana lists the ones on this side, or Ma Chashiv L'Haygisa, and the other Tana lists the ones on the other side. Now, a little bit of geography. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Kol Echad Ve'Echad Shemona Parsa'ot. Now, a parsa'a is actually a Roman length, and it's about 2.5 miles, which would be about 4K. And between each of the bonfires listed in the Mishnah, and there were five, so that's four spaces, it was 8 parsa'ot. Kama habilahu, so how much is that altogether? Taltin v'taratin, it is 32 parsa'ot. V'ha'aitna tova, says the Gemara, now it's much further to get from one place to another. From one side of Eretz Yisrael to another. It's much further than 32 parsa'ot. Have it is, sorry. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, the answer, the reason is, istatume istatum lahu darche. The ways have been stopped up. So now, Abaya is talking quite a long time after the subject in the Mishnah, after the bonfires were used, and there's been a choruban in between, which is quite a significant change, and that has stopped up many of the highways. So now to get from A to B, you don't go in a straight line, you go in a twisty-turny line, and that's why it takes longer. Dichtiv, and the Pasuk says, Lachein hinani sach et darkacha bisirim. I will surround your ways with thorns. That's the Pasuk in Hosea, and it means, in practice, that some of the routes are now closed off. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mehacha. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak learned the same thing, but from a different Pasuk, Dichtiv netivotai uva. Your ways have become crooked, which is understood metaphorically, but it's also understood literally that it's now complicated and it's more twisty-turny to get from A to B. Okay, we're ready for the next Mishnah. And the next Mishnah says, Chatzer Gedola Haitav Yerushalayim. There was a big courtyard in Yerushalayim. Now we're still talking about witnesses coming to testify about the new moon on Shabbat. And we've learned that in order to declare when the new moon is, you are able to be Mechalel Shabbat. In fact, you must be Mechalel Shabbat. And so witnesses came from all over Yerushalayim and from all over Eretz Israel, outside the Tchum, and they came to Yerushalayim. The question is what happened once they got there. So there was a big courtyard in Yerushalayim, Ubet Ya'azek Haita Nikret, and it was called Bet Ya'azek. And we'll talk about why it was called that later. Ulasham Kol Ha'edim Mitkansin. And there, all the Edim were brought into it. That's where they were put. Ubetin Bodkin Otam Sham. And the Betdin would investigate them there. They would interrogate them, as we will see in the next Mishnah, about how they would ask them questions. Usudat Gedolat Osun Lahem. And they made big meals for them. Vishvil Shehayu Ragilin Lavo. So they would be encouraged to come. Because it's not easy being an aide and schlepping to Yerushalayim on Shabbat, for many reasons, one of which is once you get there, you're stuck there, because you can't leave, you can't go back outside the Tchum to go home. So what you do, so the very least they could do for them is give them nice food. So the word gets out that if you go to Yerushalayim to be testimony for a new moon, at least you will get well fed. Shahayu ragilim lavo. So they will be encouraged to keep coming. Bereshona lo hayu zazin misham kol hayom. Originally, they didn't move from there, from the courtyard, all day. They were stuck there. Hitkin Rabbi Gamliel Azakein Sheyu Machalchin Alpayim Amar L'chol Ruach. Here Rabbi Gamliel instituted that they don't have to stay in that courtyard, that they can move, they can create a new Tuchum, as it were. A Tuchum, which is the maximum journey you're allowed to take on Shabbat, which is 2,000 Amar, normally 2,000 Amar outside the city in all directions. Now, if you've gone outside your own city and you find yourself in another city, basically the halacha is that you get to, well, depending on what basis you came out of your city, if you came out in a justifiable way, then you get 2,000 amah in all directions, but not outside the city. So you don't have you can't walk the whole city and 2,000 amah out of it, but you can walk 2,000 amah, 2,000 cubits. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said would happen to these people. Because obviously they came legitimately, and now he says they've got their own tuchum that they can walk around in. He says, Shehayu machalchin apayim ama l'chol ruach. V'lo elu bilvad. Can you pass the tissues? And not just these people. Elo af chachma haba'a liyaled. And various other categories who come outside their own tuchum on Shabbat, but for a very legitimate reason. They're also, once they've done their worthy task, they're not physically stuck in one spot, but they're allowed to move 2,000 amah. So a chachma, a midwife, habali yaled, who comes to help somebody give birth, v'habala hadsil min hadaleika, somebody who comes to save somebody from a burning building. A building's on fire, the word goes up, please can everyone come and help, including people who live outside of the chum, they come to help. And then the takana is, they're allowed to go 2,000 amah from where they find themselves. Umin hagiyas, and somebody who came to save from an invading army, umin hanahar, or from a river, i.e. an overflowing river, umin hamapolet, or from a falling building. All of these people, hare eluka anshe ha'ir, they are like the people in the city in the sense that they don't have to be stuck, v'yesh lehem alpayim ama alpayim l'chol ruach. And they have alpayim, 2,000 amas, in all directions. Then the Gemara says, ibay elohu, Bet Yazek Tanan or Bet Yizak Tanan. So as sometimes happens when the Gemara analyzes the Mishnah, especially with an unfamiliar word, there are different traditions about how the word was said and how it was spelt. Does it have an ayin or does it not have an ayin? So we're not sure. Was it bet yazek with an ayin or bet yazek without an ayin? Bet yazek tanan or bet yazek tanan? Bet yazek tanan. Now, if we say it's spelled with an ayin, lishna ma'alya, it's a nice expression who it is, dichtiv, because it says, v'yazaku, v'yasalkahu, and they surrounded them, and they, yasalkuhu, I haven't got it, they surrounded them with stones. They made a fence around them with stones. Now, that would refer to them being stuck in this courtyard, but it's a nice way to refer to this courtyard. It's a walled courtyard. That's what is implied by the Yizaku, Ayin Zayin Kuf. Or Dilma Beit Yazik Tanan, or maybe it's spelt without an ayin, Lishna Datsara. And that is an expression of travail and trouble, who it is, dichtiv, as it writes, for who asur ba'azikin, he's tied up with chains. So if you call it yazik without the iron, it sounds like a place of imprisonment. Same place, just two different perspectives. Is it a place which is walled, which is like quite comfortable, or is it a place of imprisonment? Now, Omar Abaya says, Toshma, we can prove it. Sudat gedola tayu osin lahem. They made big meals for them, Sham, there. Kadesh yuraginu lavo, in order that they should keep coming. So Abaya clearly understands that it was a place which was a nice place and would be considered a nice place. It was a place of quite comfy hospitality with nice food. So he would say, it must have been Yazek with an ayin. The Gemara says, Dilma tarte have avdu bahu. Maybe it was both. Maybe they did both to them. They gave them nice food, but effectively, it was a place where they were imprisoned in chains. So the fact they gave them nice food doesn't rule out it was Yazek without the iron. Then we
why would they want to imprison them?
Because they couldn't move. They were in the courtyard. Until Rabbi Gamliel Hazakeh allowed them to move more, they were stuck in this courtyard. So did they view it as a place of imprisonment or a place that was walled? And because they come, they do their mitzvah, they come and report on the new moon, and then they're stuck. Mm. So maybe they thought of it as like being in chains. Mm-hmm. Now, we said in the previous Mishnah that while they're in this courtyard, the Bet Din would, Bodek, would examine them. Ketzad bodkim et ha'edim. The next Mishnah says, how did they examine the witnesses? Zug Shabar Rishon. So the first pair that came, bodkin oto, Rishon. They would check them first. They're sort of first come, first served. Umachnisim et hagodol shebehem. So they came as a pair, and you need two witnesses to maintain the to work out what happened. Sorry, two witnesses to be verified. Two people saw the new moon together. They come together, and then you interview them one by one to check that their stories match up. And so they brought in the first one, umachnisim et hagodol shebehem. They bring in a more senior. For Omrim lo, and they say to him, Amor, say, Ketzad re'ita et halmana. How did you see the sun, the moon? And we're talking about the new moon. Lifnei hachama or lachar hachama? In front of the sun or behind the sun? Now, this is a trick question because, and there are beautiful charts in the art scroll that show this, the new moon, or rather the moon, is always behind the sun. Over the course of a lunar month, the sun goes round the earth one more time than the moon does. I know the earth goes round the sun, but in terms of if you're sitting in the earth, it seems like the sun goes round every 24 hours, and the moon goes round, but it's just a little bit behind the sun. And in the course of 29 and a half days, the sun, as it were, laps the moon and overtakes it. But the moon is always behind the sun. At the moment of the new moon, the sun has just lapped the moon and has just gone in front. So the moon is just behind. So when they asked the witnesses, did you see the new moon in front of the sun or behind the sun as the sun moves from east to west? The answer must be, we saw it behind the sun. If they say we saw it in front of the sun, then they're wrong, as we'll see later.
So it's not talking about the depth of
The moon to the sun.
What do you mean the depth?
Like which one's closer to Earth?
Oh, no. It's more, in the sky.
So they have to know the tracking or the movements of the sun and the moon relative to each other.
Yes, but...
Which is hard to examine if you're just looking like at a glance, is it not?
Doesn't everyone know that the sun is moving down and setting in the west?
Okay.
Now, actually, there's a little bit more, because the only time you see the moment of the new moon is just before sunset. You can't see it any earlier because the sun's too bright. You'll only be able to see it just before sunset. So the sun is coming down to the west, and the moon is just behind it on its path down to moonset. Hmm?
So if you know, you have to say it was behind.
You need to say
So the first time you get it wrong, you go, all right, next time I know not to say that again. You're always going to know, you have to answer behind.
Yeah, I suppose so. I think we're
well, you're assuming they're being honest.
We're assuming they're being honest, and we're assuming they're not the same people who come every time.
Right.
But they saw something, and they came. Now, by the way, they might not be lying. There is something they could see in front of the moon. Sorry, in front of the sun. What's that? The old moon, right? They're not the new moon, the dying moments of the old moon.
Mm.
Now, that would be just in front of the sun. Actually, there's about 6 hours between one disappears and one reappears. But so if they got something that looks like a new moon, a sliver, but in fact is the old moon dying, that would be in front of the sun. Okay, so there's something they could have seen, but they're asked... Essentially, the question could be, did you see the old moon, which we're not interested in, because we're interested in the new moon, or did you see the new moon? Okay, next thing. Letzfona or Ledroma? Did they see it to the north or the south? Now, as the Gemara is going to say, that's actually the same question. The Gemara is going to explain what we mean, why it's not quite the same question. But the sun sets in the west, so the north is to the... The sun sets in the west, the north is to the right of the sun, and the south is to the left of the sun. Now, we've already said that the moon has to be behind the sun. This is the path of the sun, this is the path of the moon, it's behind it. So it actually has to be on the south rather than the north. So, just to accept that it's actually the same question, that's the first thing the Gemara is going to raise. So they say, did you see it to the south or to the north, which is the same as did you see it to the left or the right of the sun, which is the same as did you see it in front of or behind the sun. Then they say, kamahu haya gavah, how high was it? Now that, by the way, will vary from month to month. Ula anhu noteh, and in which direction it was pointing. Vakama haya rachav, and how wide was it? Like, how big did it appear? Im amar, have I missed anything? No. Im Amar Lifnei HaChama, if they said they saw it in front of the sun, Lo Amar Klum, it doesn't count. It's as if they said nothing. V'achakach hayu machnisim et hasheni. So they finish with the first of the two, of the pair. They bring in the second one of the pair, Ubodkin Oto, and they ask him the same questions. Im Nitza'u Divrehem Mekuvanim, and if their testimony aligns, Eidotan Kayemet, their testimony stands, and that's it. The Bet Din has got all the information it needs. So what do they do with everybody else? Ushar kol zugat shalin otan roshei devarim. All the other pairs, they bring them in and they ask them general questions. They don't go into detail. Lo shayu tzarichem lahem, not because they needed this testimony, ela kedei shelo yatzu b'pachi nefesh. But so they shouldn't go out all upset, because if they've schlepped all the way to Yerushalayim. And if they've been imprisoned in this courtyard and they're told it's a complete waste of time because somebody else has already given their testimony, they're going to get a little bit upset. So in order to make them feel that their journey has been worth something, they bring them in, they ask them a few questions, and they say, thank you very much. Bishvil shehayu regilim lavo. So they will be accustomed to come in the future.
So there won't be an announcement until every single aid has been...
Yes, I suppose, because if they made the announcement, then the game would be up. And the other alien would say, what's the point of asking questions?
I know the score.
So the Gemara says, Hainu lefnei hachama, hainu l'tzifona. Hainu l'achar hachama, hainu l'adroma. Before the sun is the same as the north. After the sun is the same as the south. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, what the second question is, Pegimata lefnei hachama, or l'achar hachama. is the indentation in the towards the sun or in the face of the sun, or is it after the sun? I didn't bring a pen. Is there a pen handy? So the question is, there's the sun. Does the moon look like this, with the indentation of the moon away from the sun? Or does the moon look like that? Whoops, that's the same thing.
It's in our way.
Oh, so clever. Except I've dropped all the pens. Or does the moon look like this, with the indentation towards the sun? Now, you don't have to be much of an astronomer to know that one of them is impossible. Which one's impossible? The second one, the lower one, is impossible. Because, thank you. The top one is, the top one, why does the moon shine at all? Because it gets its light from the sun. It's reflecting from the sun. Mm. So that's why sometimes it's only the sun side of the moon that reflects and not the rest of it. But it cannot be the second picture. It cannot be the sun is shedding its light on the other side of the moon. Mm. And the side of the moon near to the sun is in shadow. That can't be. That's impossible. So says Abaya, that's really the question that we're asking. Is the indentation, the pigima, the missing bit, is it towards the sun or not towards the sun? And if they said the indentation is towards the sun, like the second picture, lo amar klum. They can't, they haven't said anything. Now, interestingly, the Gemara brings a proof for this, but not from a scientific point of view, but from a pasuk, because that, for the Gemara, is always the source of sources. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, my diktiv, Rabbi Yochanan says, why does the pasuk in Iyov say, Hamoshel upachadimo, rulership and dread is with him, Ose shalom bimromav, which is a phrase we will recognize. He makes peace in the high places. Says Rabbi Yochanan, what does that mean? Me'olam lo ra'ata chama pegimata shelavana. The sun never sees the blemish of the moon. So if you look at the top picture, the sun looks at the moon and sees a full circle. The sun doesn't know that the other part of the moon is in shadow. If you looked at the second picture, which doesn't happen, the sun looks at the moon and sees the blemish, but that doesn't happen. The sun never sees the blemish of the moon. Dechalsha data, because that would make it upset. It would make the moon upset that the sun would be, the moon would be embarrassed if the sun saw that the moon is lacking. So Hashem makes peace in the heavens. He makes the sun and the moon get on well, and he avoids the moon being upset. Obviously, this requires some deeper explanation, which is beyond the scope of this shir. Continues the Rabbi Yochanan about the peace in the heavens. Pegimata shel keshet. The sun never sees the indentation of a rainbow. What that means is this. Here's the sun. Is the rainbow looking like that? Or is the rainbow looking like that? And the answer is, it's the one on the right, which is the curvature of the rainbow is away from the sun, if I'm describing it for the podcast. It cannot be that the curvature of the, if the sun's on top, it can't be a smiley rainbow, it can only be a frowny rainbow. How about that? And again, we aren't going to get into the spectrum of the light being refracted through the water vapor, which causes the rainbow effect. But the fact is, the sun on top of the rainbow will be a frowny face, not a smiley face, which means the sun does not see it as a bow directed to the sun. I need to add a little bit more. So, in Hebrew, a rainbow is a keshet, which is also the bow, as in a bow and arrow. So imagine if that were actually a bow with arrows, and the arrow will be pointed like this. It will be pointed to the sun. But don't worry, it isn't, because the rainbow is pointing in the other direction, so the arrows are pointed away from the sun. So that's the next few words with which we will close tonight's shir. The next few words are, the pegimato shel keshet is also not seen by the sun. The lo lemra of the chama Girit ka Meshadye, so that the worshippers of the sun do not say that the sun is sending arrows to fight. Hachama hazot chetzim hayare lehilachem bekofrin ba shahayare bekeshet notem pegima hakeshet b'tzad panav. Have I done it the other way around?
It seems like the other way around.
I'm sorry, it's the other way around.
Because it goes on the bow pieces of the string, means you shoot that way.
Yes, I'm sorry. I've got the arrow shooting the wrong way. I've got the keshet right around, but the arrow shoots the wrong way. I'm sorry, the way you use an arrow, a bow, is like that.
That's true.
Okay, you use an arrow like that. So, now, if the keshet were a smiley face in relation to the sun, it would look like the arrow is being pointed away from the sun. And the worshippers of the sun would say, aha, the sun is firing arrows at its enemies, all-powerful divine sun. But in fact, the sun only sees the keshet in a frowny face, which means the arrow, if there were an arrow, is pointed not away from the sun, but towards the sun.
Sure.
And that is the conclusion of the Yochanan statement. So we'll stop there for tonight at the top of Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph.
Sure.